This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Left in July, and boy, it's a hot one. California on fire. Meanwhile, in California, Governor Newsom tries to defend himself. The recall movement is on a hot streak of their own. In fact, Newsom's campaign missed a deadline to submit his affiliation for the election. Whoa. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, if you've just joined us for the first time, well, welcome. If you have been with us for a long time, thanks for hanging out with all of us. All right, let's start here because I got so much email about the Texas Democrats and what did I think and what was going on. And here's what the deal is with the Texas Dems. For the second time since May, the Texas House Democrats are breaking quorum in a protest against the Republicans in their push to revise the election and voting laws in Texas. This was pretty much speculated that this could happen, but it was officially announced on Monday afternoon, a day before the Texas House was supposed to be back in session to continue working through the items that were set out in the agenda by the governor, Greg Abbott, for the 30-day special session that was supposed to happen. So the House Dems said they stand united in their decision to break quorum, and they refused to let the Republican-led legislature force through legislation that would, they say, trample on Texans' freedom to vote. I mean, this is what it's all about now, people. In your state, there may be a push, a tug of war that's happening over what's going on with election laws. So it's not just Texas. It's in a lot of other places. There is a great big underground conversation and above ground, I'll say, over what's going to happen in each state. So this is just another domino in the pile. Republican Texas State Representative Travis Clarity said that he was disappointed and frustrated. He said, when you look at the bill as it's drafted, as filed and laid out over the weekend and passed out of the committee, it is a very good, strong elections ethics integrity bill. I'm proud of the work we've done. If the Democrats had stayed there and taken the time to read the bill, he says they would have known that we could have passed this bill. So look out, because some of what's happening in Texas could be happening near you. And how does it affect you? How do you feel about whatever legislation's being discussed? What do you think about voting rights in your state? How has it been when you voted? And if you haven't voted, shame on you. I say that from the day I cracked open this mic. To me, I don't care how you vote, honestly, because that is you. That's personal. But vote, for goodness sake, because I've been in places where they forced people to stuff ballot boxes. In the United States, we have choices, and those choices are important. So it's important to be involved and pay attention to what's happening and how you feel about it. You may, in Texas, there are plenty of people that look at it and say, well, look, this, we think this bill is right and it should have been discussed. And then there are plenty of people that are listening and saying, oh, I don't think so at all. This is going to gerrymander things. This is going to mess things up, and it's going to change some of the availability that people have to vote. So how you feel is important. I'm highlighting Texas because it's making huge breaking news. It's not breaking news to me, having our satellite facility here, but for many of you, it may be breaking news in hearing this. All right, speaking of political fights, nothing new here, right? back in session, the Senate is having a fight of their own as the Republicans are keeping up a challenge to the big spending plans of this president. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer opened the Senate following that two-week 4th of July recess, saying progress was being made on a bipartisan $1.2 trillion infrastructure plan, the first step toward another measure that would pass with only Democratic votes. So now, again, this is mathematics, but if you haven't heard, 50-50 is the split in the Senate. I know you know that. It's uncertain whether the Democrats could actually fulfill this goal of passing both measures through the chambers by sometime in August. Infrastructure. What's around the infrastructure is part of what the fight is about. The Treasury Department is expected to be able to manage for several weeks beyond the July 31st deadline. Global financial markets are kind of jittery about a potential U.S. default on their debt, on our debt, the longer the matter is unresolved, because this is part of it. There's this divisive debate over raising the statutory limit on U.S. borrowing authority, because that expires at the end of July. So, oh yeah, that's the other underlying conversation that's happening on the Hill. The overall infrastructure package would maybe cross the finish line before next year's elections. So does that have a determining factor on control of Congress for the second half of this president's four-year term? Of course it does. So Republicans have high hopes that their party's going to get the majority in one or both houses. So this, again, is this dance that we're doing based on political parties. Infrastructure, if it can pass where it's just the meat, where we're talking about bridges that are crumbling and roads and things that need to be fixed that would create jobs anyway, that's the easy, easy thing to do. But the pressure on the Democrats is to add more items into it, and at least some of it has been picked out, that there's no way Republicans would vote for. So again, it's that red versus blue that we keep seeing. You know, it's like we're looking at NFL training camps before training camps even open up, but we're very familiar, all of us, with this push-pull tug-of-war. That's why it's important that you pay attention to what's happening locally, then look at it at your state level, and of course watch what's happening on the Hill, so you know when you go to vote, however you put that vote down, your vote matters, because really, ultimately, the more people that feel that way, the more you'll be happy with who is elected. And the more you'll feel like there's integrity to the process. Coming up on the show, the latest in Miami, because we're not just going to leave you hanging there. What's happening Surfside? They still have weeks to go, I think, before they call it a day and haul off everything that was part of that condo. The death toll now has reached 94, and it is strictly recovery at the Surfside condo collapse. We'll have more on that coming up next, plus some of your other thoughts, and that was a lot of you asked about that when we hit the mailbag.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Nothing says back to school like shopping for new book bags, laptops, outfits, and classroom essentials. Amazon makes shopping convenient for students, parents, and educators gearing up to head back to class. Customers can spend less and smile more when they shop Amazon's back-to-school and off-to-college storefronts this year, offering the widest selection, low prices, and free shipping on millions of items. Whether students are heading off to their first day of preschool or final semester of college, Amazon serves as a one-stop shop with everything customers need to get ready for school, including the latest fall fashions, dorm room decor, must-have supplies, and more. Plus, college students can sign up for a 6-month trial of Prime Student for access to the best of shopping and entertainment from Amazon, plus exclusive offers just for college students. Get your school list ready and start shopping today at amazon.com/backtoschool and amazon.com/offtocollege.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Mailbag.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Indeed, to the mailbag we head. This one's from Luke, who is listening to us in the great state of Florida. Kate, it is so sad to see what has happened. I know that you've read other emails from people who have been by Surfside. They say they're trying to be respectful. They're curious. They don't want to seem like rubberneckers, but they are concerned about the people who are part of this huge recovery mission. And it really is that. You can see the exhaustion in their faces. I have worked on that pile in the very beginning, and I know that the anticipation was we want a miracle, we want to find some people, and of course that is long past. I came down from Tallahassee, and that's where I listened to your show, and I have to tell you it's really sad, except for I believe in the power of human beings and connection, and so many people have connected in positive ways to not only the workers that are part of this big effort, but also the family members. There's lots of hugs that are going on, and I think that there is a incredible feeling of what it's like to be human, frankly. Wow. You know, I saw, it's interesting, Luke, I saw a lot of the shots from there, And somebody that I know that lives in Miami sent me a couple of personal texts with just shots from far away of the walls that have been put up, of the faces of the people, and it reminded me so much of 9/11. I know there's been some comparisons of that, and I like that. You know, you've got the rescue units that are lining up, and they're taking those moments of silence when they find bodies, and the families of the victims and survivors have, you know, really bonded and being together and hearing the news that they're hearing, which is really, really tough. I mean, look, they had a 3-year-old that was pulled from the pile, the youngest victim of the collapse, and he was identified, you know, just last week, at the tail end of last week, and I know that was hard for those that were involved in finding so many young people, older people, all kinds of people. And now, of course, it is the safety concerns. I got this one from Nora, who says, Kate, it's interesting. Since the collapse, and I listened to you in Tucson on 10:30 a.m., since the collapse, more people in my neighborhood, there's a couple of condos, they're not giant like Surfside, but more people are paying attention to, hey, when was the last time we really went through the fine print of what engineers have said? When was the last time that the buildings were checked for safety, etc.? And I know that more people in my homeowners association have had questions, and I know that in our county, more people are asking questions about infrastructure. So maybe what happened in Miami, while it's a tragedy, could end up saving lives across America because of the questions that are happening in condos and homeowners associations and in communities all over the place. Here. I mean, yeah, lessons learned, if they can be passed on and other people's lives can be saved, yeah, because something they weren't paying attention to or something that kind of was shoved under the rug, so to speak, suddenly becomes more apparent because people are checking closer. You know, it's kind of like the legalese, right? You get buried in these reports, and are you reading them correctly? Do you know how to read them? What does it mean? How often are things checked? Those are just such good questions to ask. Just even making a phone call to the county, to the city, to ask questions about that. I mean, they have building inspectors. And when was the last time, especially if you're in a big building, that it was inspected? But it doesn't have to necessarily be a big building. I mean, you could have a small condo that is not safe because of some structural damage maybe you're not aware of. Let's move on to this one from Joseph. And Joseph is listening to us on the West Coast, in fact, on KCAA. Delaney, I know you used to live in California, and you probably paid great attention to what was happening in the ocean. You probably spent a bunch of time in the water. I grew up in Los Angeles, and we got problems in L.A. of all sorts. But I don't know if you know this or not, but a lot of the beaches in L.A. had to be closed because of sewage from the largest treatment plant just splashed into Santa Monica Bay over the weekend. I guess there was some kind of a weird mechanical failure that caused the sewage to be discharged out into the ocean. That's like your worst nightmare when you're a surfer or diver or someone who just cares about where they live, hearing the damage that can be done to beaches when you have sewage that's untreated, that's dumped into water. Oh, yeah. The bacteria, the stuff that's happening, they got to take water samples. You're not going to that water until you know it's all washed out. And I guess I know about this story because I have a friend, Annie, who lives in L.A., and some other friends that live there, too. And I guess it was like they said it was like 4 miles that we're talking about, but it has to be closed because the water samples have to come up negative for whatever's in the water. Bacteria, basically, we'll call it that. And this plant is the oldest sewage treatment plant that they have. In fact, it's been around since, talking about infrastructure, it's been around since 1894. And imagine the amount of the flow that goes through there, 450 million gallons of water a day. But what the plant manager says is they're inundated with qualities or quantities, not qualities, quantities of debris that causes backups and problems, and that it's been this way, and that the plant's relief system was triggered and sewage flows were controlled through this 1 mile outfall and discharge of the untreated sewage into the Santa Monica Bay. That's what happened. And that's what they had to do. So about 6% of what their daily load was what came into the ocean, because they're saying that if they didn't do that, the plant would go offline and would spew even more sewage. Like, you don't even want to know how much would be dumped into the water. So they could prevent a larger spill. They have to do that. And then, of course, the questions start to abound as to, well, how does this happen? And, you know, and you can point to things like in the 90s when you had the storms, the El Nino storms, something like 30 million gallons of sewage spilled then. Yeah, they've had problems before. That's not new. And there are different reasons why. And there's the reason why they have that set up so that they don't end up with more sewage being dumped into the water. All right, this one is from Martin, who says, Kate, I listened to your story right before I took off for a flight about the woman who had to be restrained with tape and cuffs and all of that kind of stuff. That would be scary if you were on a plane, frankly, and you see a woman who's hysterical trying to jump out of the plane. God forbid she could have gotten the door open in any way, was strong enough, couldn't be stopped or whatever, that would be the plane going down. So she could have killed people. She is absolutely not going to be allowed to fly American. I can't imagine she'd be on anybody's list that she could fly anywhere. Sad story. Who knows what was wrong with her? But it's very scary to think how random that could be if you were on that flight. Yeah. This was from Dallas to Charlotte, and she was trying to open the forward boarding door. And she bit in a flight attendant and a whole bunch of other things. I mean, that's what they had to do. They had to restrain her. They had no choice because, you had people on that flight. You had the crew members on the flight. And people who were on the flight said she just, that she seemed a little she seemed a little off, but she was loud, agitated, and they tried to calm her down, but it didn't work. That was the only thing that they could do. All right. Any thoughts on anything? We are wide open. Send them to me, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Police in Cuba's capital have stepped up patrols in the city a day after large protests against the country's ruling communist government. Marches were held in Havana and cities across the island as the country deals with its worst economic crisis in years amid the pandemic. President Biden said Monday that the U.S. stands with the Cuban people and their calls for freedom. Cuban President Miguel Diaz-Canel blamed the unrest on economic hardships from long-standing U.S. embargoes against the regime. Monitors also reported that several social media sites were being blocked by the Cuban authorities after President Diaz-Canel blamed them for the organization of the protests. And President Biden met with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders Monday as a group of Democratic senators work on a massive spending package. Sanders told reporters after the meeting that the package would be larger than $3.5 trillion and could be pushed through Congress with a special budget reconciliation process that could see the bill approved without any Republican support. This is USA Radio News. President Biden's campaign to go door-to-door in some areas of the country to deliver information on COVID vaccinations has received criticism from a number of state officials, calling the efforts attempts at coercion by the federal government. Dr. Anthony Fauci says he supports that effort to get more people vaccinated, but tells CBS News that it should be done by community leaders instead of government officials.
When we started with the vaccine implementation plan, there were large efforts like auditoriums or sports arenas filled with people getting vaccinated. When you get down to now a core lesser group, you've got to go one-on-one. And that's really what the president was talking about trying to get some of these advisors, not federal officials, but community people to go out there and try and convince people why it's so important for their own health, for that of their family, and for that of the community to go out and get vaccinated. We really need to get more people vaccinated because that's the solution.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Somebody who was a little bit eccentric and different and made some people furious and made some people pretty happy about what he did when he was in office. Also, conversation about what's happening with this crazy story about this internet surveillance apparatus, the USPS semi-secret internet surveillance. Ooh. I mean, really, it is the Wild West. You are just, when you're out there surfing around, be careful what you're doing. There are definitely obstacles. All right, Edwin Edwards never met an obstacle he couldn't overcome. I had conversations with him years back. Somebody I knew knew Edwin Edwards, and I had spent some time in Louisiana, and he was interesting to talk to. He was a populist, you have to say that. And in every headline I've seen, that's what he's described as. He served 4 terms as governor, 8 years in prison, dead at the age of 93, so 25 years. And he did have that Louisiana charm, I guess I'll call it. And he absolutely was a champion for the poor. Absolutely. While he did have to beat back accusations of corruption before being sent to prison for taking bribes, he did do what he could to help the poor people in his state, and he certainly encouraged and got a lot of women into state government, and also at the time when there wasn't a lot of African-American people as well. So he dominated for two decades plus, and even had the national spotlight glaring on him when he faced off against former Ku Klux Klan Grand Wizard David Duke, a Republican, and he won the most votes ever in a Louisiana gubernatorial election that time around. He had a motto, and his motto was "Let the good times roll," and he proclaimed himself as the first Cajun governor in the 20th century, and by defeating Duke, became the only person elected to lead Louisiana four times and serve 16 years. And he said when he was interviewed a few years back, he wasn't glad that he went to prison, but he said he figured that it more than compensates for the unfairness and the agony of, you know, being there, that he met Trina and had Eli as a child, and it compensated for that. But boy, I was thinking about this. Bash that everybody talked about that was at the Renaissance Hotel in Baton Rouge, and there were guests that paid over $200 a person, you know, to be there because he just was so, and it just, that more people wanted to go. It was just absolutely, you know, jam. And, you know, he had a lot of people that, even Republicans, rivals that respected him, even if it was grudgingly. He was skilled as a politician, I guess that's the way to put it, the Louisiana charmer. So big news there because he had a big name in Louisiana, and even nationally people were aware of Edwin Edwards, dead at the age of 93. California facing lots of problems with power because electric lines are threatened with this heat wave. What do we have when we get into the summer? Wildfires, dozens of them burning across the West, but certainly in Cali. And it's like a tinderbox, right? You just have these blazes that can get ignited by lightning, and once they go up, and firefighters are scrambling to try to put them out, and this gets repeated over and over and over and over and over again, and not just in California, but in the West. So then you double how much are we talking about in Oregon, how much are we talking about in California, and other firefighters often come to try to help, to try to, you know, mobilize themselves, get there, because they can't, you just can't block off what they have to block off and what they have to do with the sometimes the small amounts of departments that they have. I mean, even Yosemite National Park had 6 square miles that had evacuations in two counties, and the fire, as of my last check here on Monday, late Monday, 5% contained. But the highway that leads into Yosemite's southern entrance is still open. A lot of times those entrances get shut down. You know how bad it is. The July heat wave follows an unusual June of broiling temperatures in the West, and these drought conditions throughout the area is exactly what causes it. I mean, exactly. It's not what you're expecting. I guess it's not what you're expecting because you're hoping upon hope that it's going to be contained. But because I lived there and I saw what it was like, yeah, hope is not a good strategy. And that's not how the fire departments roll. They know. They plan for it. They try to figure out ways to get to it sooner. They look at who are their allies. Who can they, in other words, which is a tremendous amount of people, who can they go to when they need help? What can they do to get this, to get the fires out? How do they get the word out that be careful what you're doing if you're camping because of what the drought is like? You know, this is interesting because because I've come across now three different stories on this. I decided I would throw it out, and then I saw a link on Drudge, and I was like, you know, what's going on with the U.S. Postal Service? So a social media surveillance unit that's called the Internet Covert Operations Program, or ICOP, which is interesting, right, if you look at the acronym, is the U.S. Postal Service. Through it, postal inspectors have been monitoring social media platforms about U.S. protests. They use tools that include a facial recognition database. You know, this, they deliver the mail. They hustle the mail to us. And now they have a side hustle. And I guess I'm not surprised by it because I keep up on this. I've read stories about it for months upon months upon months. And now that I think more people are kind of chewing on this idea, it's worth bringing up on the show. So what the U.S. Postal Inspection Service agents do, they specifically monitor Facebook, Parler, Twitter, and they look at activity that relates to planned protests occurring internationally and domestically. And the ICOP program protects the Postal Service, is what it's set up, supposedly, and the public, supposedly, by looking at or facilitating the identification, disruption, and dismantling of people and organizations that use the mail or USPS online tools to facilitate black market internet trade or other illegal activities. There have been a couple of movies that have actually been done about some of what happens on the black market, and it has been through the mail service. So I think part of that is what also led to ICOP. And they look at things like cryptocurrency, you know, they have a blockchain analysis, and they look at that, and they're looking at drugs, mail theft, revenue fraud, homicide, dangerous mail, and more. So now they've disclosed that they do have this program in their annual reporting. They've released that, if people didn't know. And there's been an uproar by some in Congress who think that there's some serious questions about this surveillance and encroachment on private lives. And should this really be happening? And that the fact is that we have other intelligence agencies, and shouldn't they be doing this? Not the U.S. Postal Service with their ICOP. But oh boy, some of the drugs and some of the things that have come through the Postal Service, I don't want to say it's shocking, but you know, when it's uncovered, it may be perhaps it's these opioids, the mailed opiates, the amount, the firearms, all of that may be surprising to some. But there's no audits of ICOP. I mean, who's looking at it? They have, what are the governance portions of doing this? You know, I don't even know if they could answer the questions. So how are you spying on social media? Who are you spying on? Is it everybody? Or are we tipping our hand? Or I think there's a lot of questions about that. I think it's fair to question that, by the way. Coming up, mic drop. Okay, Delaney. We have Ashley Cantano with us. She's the public policy manager at Facebook. She's going to share some information on the COVID-19 vaccine. I know that a program started a couple of months ago. Tell us more about that, Ash.
In April, we launched a program to support pop-up vaccine clinics in low-income and underserved communities around California. Today, we're sharing that we've expanded that program to Austin, Boston, Chicago, New York, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. It's really important for us to support the communities near our offices, and this is one way we can do that.
What about mobile vaccines?
Near our headquarters in Menlo Park, we're also teaming with local nonprofits to operate a mobile vaccination truck. Each Friday and Sunday, the truck will park at nearby schools and community spaces.
Ashley, where can we find out more information?
Check out www.about.sb.com/news for all the details.
Thanks, Ashley, for sharing the information on COVID-19 vaccinations.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs has learned the importance of good fats for good health. Good fats are essential fatty acids, and they're called essential because they're necessary for good health. That's why he uses Ultimate EFAs from Youngevity.
Among the fats, the most powerful are two fats that are referred to as essential fatty acids. Now, nothing in the world of nutrition is more important than essential fatty acids. The word essential means you better get it in your diet or you're in big trouble. Essential fatty acids are perhaps the most multifunctional and versatile of all the essential nutrients. Essential fatty acids are not just important for the heart, they're important for everything in the body.
To get the essential fatty acids that are so important to your body, order Ultimate EFAs from Youngevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
To imagine for a minute, yeah, that you've hit all the pins down, strike, and another strike, and at the end of it, what is your score as you go through frame by frame? It wasn't about striking the pins, though. It was about striking bowling balls the more that he dug. David Olson was demolishing the back steps of his house in the beginning of July, when he saw this weird black sphere buried in the sand behind some cinder blocks, and he thought, huh, this kind of looks like a bowling ball. Pulled it out, and yeah, sure enough, it was a bowling ball. Then there was a couple of others he pulled out, and he thought, well, that's how they're filling it in. So this makes it kind of easier for me in a way, because I'm not digging up all this sand or gravel or other things that I could be digging up. The more he got into it, he realized this is an entire grid work of them. That's what's making up the weight. So his initial count, which he threw up on Facebook for fun, was 50 balls. He uncovered 50 balls. Now he's up to 160 bowling balls buried beneath his house. He says there's definitely more, but he said he's dug 2 feet lower than when he found the last ball. He thinks it's pretty much cleared out in the section he initially needed. So he was worried about his three young children. They were curious. They wanted to know what was going on. So he contacted Brunswick Bowling Products, the maker of these balls, because he could see their name clearly on all of them, and asked whether they could be toxic or not. And it took about a day or so, and then he got a response back from the company, and the company said no, they were made in the 50s, because he had serial numbers and stuff, and they verified they were all safe and could be disposed of. Mic drop, anyone? Can I buy a bowling ball, David, from you? All right, so these balls are in kind of rough condition. I've seen photographs of them, and now a lot of people are doing stories. There's even a big write-up in USA Today. And what's cool is, I guess there used to be a Brunswick bowling ball plant in Muskegon, Michigan. So even some of the ex-Brunswick employees contacted him through the Facebook posts and said workers used to take scrapped bowling balls to use as a cheaper alternative to gravel or sand when they were doing things with the landscaping, their house, etc. So he's using, I love this, he's using the balls as edging for his landscaping or to make sculptures of some of those. He donated 8 of them to a nearby church to use in a bowling ball cannon at a pig roast. Oh, that would be fun. And his stepfather laid claim to a few because he wants to use them as custom furniture legs. So, quite a haul. 160 bowling balls. As somebody who had a bowling ball with my initials on it, and I thought that was so cool when I got that as a birthday present, because for a short time I was in a league, I was fascinated by this story. You know, I mean, there's always the other part of the story, right? How you dig deep enough and look what you find, right? And I always thought it was you look up and you don't know what you're missing if you don't look up. But sometimes I think you got to look down. And when you dig, you never know what you're going to uncover. So truly, that was such an interesting story, I think, that that he found those. Never expecting that, had no idea, no clue. That was on any schematic anywhere. There was just, you know, there was no way to know other than, oh, what's going on with these bowling balls? And what a cool thing for his kids to see that, you know, he's unearthing them. Just crazy. A couple of quick reminders. This isn't any kind of paid advertisement, but McDonald's fries, it is Friday. It's so brilliant when you take a marketing idea and say, eh, we sell a bunch of fries, so what, we'll end up selling other foods. So it is National French Fry Day, and of course at McDonald's they're free, and I think there's others that have free fries. Probably anywhere you show up, you're going to get free fries on Tuesday, but that's how it's playing out at the Golden Arches and Wendy's and some of the other hot spots. And then I learned out for you, I learned also when I was out there cruising around today that IHOP has, like, you know, a stack of pancakes for 58 cents. So if you are a pancake person, I don't know, maybe you go and get yourself some cheap, you know, pancakes. They're still going to come out the same. And it's probably smart, right? Because you're going to end up, I think, buying other things on the menu. So like I said, it's a good marketing ploy. And if not, if you can contain yourself, you can just go and get 58 cents worth of pancakes. Pretty cool. This is not cool. Lightning is a scary thing. Maybe it was 2 nights ago. And it must have been 6 o'clock in the morning. And there was such a lightning strike. I thought, this is it. This is how I'm going out. This house is going to just blow apart. It was so loud and bright. It was frightening. I'm still investigating. It didn't hit my house, but I'm thinking it had to hit someone in my hood. Somebody had to get hit by this. Well, I was reading today about a lightning strike that killed at least 11 people, injured 11 more at a tourist attraction in Amer, India. So they responded to this historical monument, you know, first responders on Sunday after lightning struck the watchtower at the fort and people jumped off in panic. It hit the tower's wall collapsed. and people were buried under it. The fort is on a hill, so the debris was falling, and there's reduced space, and some people fell into the ditch, which is terrible. I mean, it's a hilly area. There's a lot of trees. It's beautiful, actually. And they were taking selfies at the top of the watchtower in the rain when the lightning struck. So no explanation. It just was bad timing, and that's what happened. But there's a lot of lightning strikes in that area. 38 people actually died in 24 hours. I think, and I've talked about this before in the air, I don't know that lightning is a weird phenomenon, right? You see it and often a distance, oh, look, there's lightning, or that kind of looks pretty if it's like, you know, so warm outside. But I had a college friend who actually lived in the same duplex I lived, and whenever it rained, boy, she was a wreck. And I never understood it until she eventually told me after a few times that her brother and father were killed. They were out playing golf at Ohio University on the golf course there, and it just was that bad timing. Lightning hits, it hits the green that they're on where they're putting, and they both are hit by it, and they're both killed. So I think I'm not saying people aren't safe around lightning, but it's one of those weird phenomenons. You see it, and it can be beautiful when it crackles across the sky, but it is deadly and sometimes scary, like what happened in my neighborhood. When I heard that, I was like, wow. I've never heard anything like that in my life. I mean, in any of my travels, in any place I've lived, never heard anything that rattled that much. And for the first time ever, Guinness, the golden retriever / Irish setter who is rattled by nothing and could care less and could walk in the rain, he jumped up. You know, he almost was like, it was almost like someone had lifted and threw him up in the air. He just jumped up because it shook him. So, you know, there was something to that. All right, something else to mention in odds and ends is, you know, there's so many interesting things that are happening far and wide. The good news is more people are taking staycations or breaks or, you know, traveling with families to outdoor water parks or just out there smiling and having fun. And boy, can you see it. But I will say this, pack your patience. Like we talked about the woman who had to be restrained with tape and cuffs and all that kind of stuff on American Airlines flights. Pack your patience if you go to the airport, because you may get into one of those situations where you've got to deal with delays or long times in between at the airport. So make sure you bring your snacks and your good books. That's why we're introducing you to some of these amazing authors that we're going to have in the second hour of our show. Thanks so much to all of you for listening. Remember, you can hit me up 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.